ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
At a rural picnic spot in the dark, a young man suddenly disappears.
You could nearly say an alien took him away because he's just vanished.
When more clues from that night surface, something doesn't sit right.
It's nonsensical where the stuff is. It's been scattered.
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
Is it a murder? Is it someone just gone missing?
You know where my son is.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
It feels almost impossible for the cost of anything to come down. So how is it that our power bills are about to fall? Well, it has a huge amount to do with renewables and our growing love of batteries. Today, energy reporter Dan Mercer on the changing power dynamics. I'm Sam Hawling on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Dan, when it comes to power bills, Australians have had a pretty rough ride in the last few years. We have seen prices soar, haven't we?
Yeah, we certainly have, Sam. I mean, conservatively, they've jumped about 40% or $600 for the typical household over the last 5 years. Now, it has to be said that much of that increase came immediately in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which sent energy prices soaring all over the world.
Skyrocketing gas prices. They've been pushed up internationally by the war in Ukraine.
Wholesale electricity prices along the East Coast have soared from a daily average of less than $100 per megawatt hour to more than $700.
Insanely high coal and gas prices had a massive, massive effect on us at that time. And to be honest, we're still paying for it now because the contracting and hedging arrangements in the electricity market, they tend to take a while to wash through.
And, of course, the government did try and come in and help for a bit, right, with a generous rebate. It made it easier, but you're still paying a lot of money.
Yeah, the federal government intervened in a few ways. First of all, it stepped into the gas market and put a cap on domestic prices, which was a really big deal. Beyond that, you're quite right. In the 2023 budget, the Commonwealth stumped up $1.5 billion in power bill relief for householders. And that was just the start.
Mm.
The feds extended that relief program a couple of times and ended up shelling out almost $7 billion by the time it finished last year. We probably shouldn't forget either, Sam, that some states doled out a fair bit of their own assistance as well. Queensland, 1 year, I seem to recall, gave every household $1,000 off their power bills.
Mm.
So a lot of people, if not most people in that state, were actually paying less for power in the end than they had been before the crisis began.
Now, as you said, a really big factor for this big spike in power costs was the Ukraine war and the initial power shock that came with that. Now, Dan, of course, we have another war, the Iran war, but that's not having the same impact, is it? Why is that?
There are a couple of reasons for that, one of which we'll get to later. But another is simply that gas prices in Australia have stayed remarkably subdued this time around, Sam. Partly that's because we're not using as much gas to produce power, but arguably a bigger reason is the threat of a domestic gas reservation policy that's hanging over the producers. That wasn't a factor last time. It just wasn't. And there's a view that the exporters are playing very nicely in the local market to avoid aggravating the situation for themselves.
Mm, gas reservation policy, that's a threat that the Albanese government has put on the table, right?
Indeed.
Australians are being promised a new gas reservation scheme in the hope it'll drive down prices and avert looming shortages.
All exporters will be forced to set aside 20% of their export volumes and sell that gas to the domestic market.
And, you know, it's been a little while coming in Western Australia. There's been one of these for 20 years now, but last year the feds decided to push the button and go ahead with one at a national level.
Now, Dan, the Iran war, it's not having as big an impact, of course, as the Ukraine war had on our energy costs, which is a great thing. But even better is this news that power prices are actually expected to fall.
Households could see hundreds of dollars per year off their bill from July, with even bigger savings expected for small businesses.
This is a sizeable reduction we're seeing for most customers this year.
I do acknowledge this very real progress today. Long way to go. There's more work to do to keep this transition well underway.
Now, give me the figures, first of all. How much will they be dropping by?
So there's not one number, but a bunch of them, depending on where you live and what sort of tariff you're paying. Mm-hmm. But in short, the Australian Energy Regulator sets what are known as default market offers, which are basically ceiling prices retailers can charge punters who can't or don't shop around for deals. Relatively few consumers are actually on default offers, about 1 in 10, but they're very important because they are the reference price by which retailers set all their other prices. And this week, the regulator cut those prices in most areas where it has jurisdiction. So in southeast Queensland, rates will fall up to 10.7%, while in New South Wales, they'll go down as much as 5%. The one exception is South Australia, where prices will actually rise a tad by 1.4%. In all these states, though, small businesses will get a much bigger break. In New South Wales, for example, small business rates will fall 20%, 20.9% to be precise. So if you're a householder, this is maybe a couple of hundred dollars a year off your power bills, while if you're a small business owner, it's potentially a lot more.
Okay, but Dan, some households, they would already have better deals than the default, right? As you say, there's only 1 in 10 customers on the default. So will their bills drop too?
Well, arguably all households should be on a better deal than the default offer, which is there, after all, as a safety net, as a last resort, really. And certainly retailers will usually market deals which are a discount to the default. But Sam, it's not like banks with interest rates where your lender tends to drop the price as wholesale costs fall. Mm. That's generally the experience of people with mortgages. In the energy game, you've got to hustle. And that definitely goes for punters as well. The savings can be big if you shop around, but typically only if you really kind of make those calls and you do hustle. Mm. These companies won't just pass on savings to you.
Yeah, right, so you need to shop around. Okay, but it is good news. Our power bills are about to start falling rather than rising, which they usually do. So let's delve now, Dan, into why that is. Now, part of this has to do with batteries.
Well, we alluded to this earlier, Sam, when we were talking about the difference between this year's crisis and the one in 2022. And a big explanation for that difference is batteries. It's really quite extraordinary how quickly and how seriously they've come onto the scene in Australia. 4 years ago, there basically weren't any big batteries in Australia's major grids. And now, there are heaps. Mm. I mean, in Western Australia, where I live, there's now so much battery capacity in this state's main grid that they're able to meet about 40% of peak demand. The eastern states, I'm told, are about 18 to 24 months behind WA, but the same story is playing out there, and the eastern states will catch up for sure. In simple terms, those batteries are taking excess solar power from the middle of the day and discharging it in the evening as the sun sets. The effect of this is we simply need less gas power to meet peak demand.
Okay, and the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, he says that these batteries are working to flatten the peak.
So if we're saving more of the renewable energy from the day and using it more to flatten out that nighttime peak and reduce prices, that is the system working.
But what does he mean by that?
It just means that prices are not rising nearly as high as they were, you know, short-term spot market wholesale prices are not rising nearly as high as they were when the market depended much more on very expensive gas power. Because there are now so many batteries and they have such a collective capacity, albeit restricted to about 4 hours when they run out, you know, there's just now so much more competition to supply that evening market. The flip side of this is daytime prices are also flattening, but in the opposite direction. Until recently, there was so much solar power in the middle of the day and nowhere for it to go, really, that prices were cratering. even turning negative, meaning generators had to pay someone to take their output off their hands. With batteries, they're soaking up most of that surplus solar production, and so daytime prices are now rising. But arguably, Sam, all of this is good news for consumers because it means the market is less volatile, and you know, hopefully this means more stability for bills too.
But put simply, Dan, can we say it's costing less to produce electricity and that's driving prices lower?
I think there's probably more to it, Sam. I mean, it's true that generation costs are easing, but that's relative to the extraordinary highs that we saw a few years ago. We've never seen highs like that. The thing with this energy transition is wholesale costs tend to whipsaw around a lot more than they used to. So you'll get a period where a heap of new wind and solar capacity comes online, and now increasingly batteries too. And it just means that there's more supply in the system, which obviously helps ease prices. But this hollows out the business case for something like a coal plant, which is not only getting squeezed by renewable energy in production, so it can't produce as much energy, but it's getting less money for the energy it does produce. So inevitably, there'll be another coal plant that closes and the system will lose a big chunk of generating capacity that runs around the clock or can run around the clock. And unless you've built enough capacity to replace that coal plant and then some, prices tend to rise in those circumstances. And so the cycle repeats. Then on top of this, the reality is we're going to be paying a lot more for poles and wires, or the poles and wires part of our bill, from now on, indefinitely. As this transition unfolds and we rely more and more on electricity rather than gas or oil to power our lives, the network will need to be upgraded and expanded to cope with that. We don't know exactly how much, but even the AER itself has talked about a wall of capital expenditure that's coming in this regard. So it's going to cost a lot of money as well, and that all needs to be paid for by us.
So don't bet that your bills will continue to go down by the sound of it. But there is one other good thing, Dan, because households are about to get regulated access to free power during the day. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, well, it certainly does sound good. I mean, it's great marketing, if nothing else, and hopefully a little more than that. So you're right. The federal government last year announced it would require retailers to at least offer customers this thing called a solar sharer deal. The way it works is that consumers will get free power for 3 hours every day, although they will have to opt into the scheme. It's not just going to apply automatically. The Australian Energy Regulator, in this decision on the default market offer, has now put some more flesh on the bones of that scheme. So we know that if you live in New South Wales and Southeast Queensland, you can get free power from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if you're in South Australia, you can get it from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. from July, when this offer is, you know, going to come into effect. According to the government and advocates for this scheme, it's all about ensuring households which otherwise wouldn't get access to solar could get some of the benefits of solar power. So renters, people living in apartments and so on, people who, you know, can't afford solar. There are some observers who doubt the scheme will work very well, but, you know, maybe we can have a chat about that a separate time, Sam, once it's been running.
But, yeah, putting your washing machine or your dishwasher on in the middle of the day, that's a pretty good idea under this sort of scheme.
If you can make it work for you, absolutely. Yeah. But of course, there'll be trade-offs, right? You'll get free power in the middle of the day, but presumably they'll need to claw that back in higher prices outside of those times.
Okay, Dan, so power bills for some of us are going to go down, which is great news. But what about into the future? What do you think we should really expect?
I mean, we've discussed this here before, Sam. This transition is going to be a very rocky process. It certainly has been already. There'll be times when things seem to be going really well and prices seem to be coming down, as they do now. But then there'll be other times, as we've seen more than once before, where things go crazy and prices rocket. I mean, hopefully we're through the rockiest part already, but I think it'd be a brave person to wager that right now. As mentioned already, prices are not going to go back to the way they used to be when we ran almost solely on cheap coal. We had very low power prices, but we're just not going to go back there. That's not going to happen. In the long run, a better question might be whether our energy costs come down. In other words, if we no longer have to pay for petrol or diesel for our cars or gas for our heating or cooking, and we can run everything on electricity, will our energy bills be lower? Some people, and you know, some real experts in this space, certainly think the answer is yes, they will be.
Dan Mercer is the ABC's energy reporter based in Western Australia. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.